This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners just like you. If you have the means and you'd like to contribute, click on the link in the show description to go to my supporter page. Once you're there, it's completely up to you how much you'd like to give. There's no minimum and no maximum and no ongoing charges. Enjoy this episode and thanks for listening to the Saturday Quiz.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi there! Welcome to another episode of The Saturday Quiz. I'm your host, John Leary, and on this podcast, I ask the 10 questions from the quiz in the Saturday paper, and a different pair of guests each week try to come up with the correct answers. It's that time of year again. The Melbourne International Comedy Festival officially starts on the 29th of March and runs until the 23rd of April. Both my guests this week have shows at the festival at the same venue, the Butterfly Club, and can be even more narrowly categorised as singer-songwriter comedians. After literal years on stage in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, one of my guests is back at the festival with her show Actually Good, and the other was named Best Newcomer at last year's Sydney Comedy Festival, and her new show is called Odd Sock. Welcome to the show, Gillian Cosgriff and Gabby Bolt.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for pronouncing the comma in my show title.
Yes.
That's how I know you're an actor. Actually.
Thank you for noticing. It's so nice to meet you, Gabby. And I've already met you, Gillian. You've been on the show before. Yeah. And last time you were on the show, you were with Tom Wren. Because you were both performing in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, but now you're doing something completely different.
Yes, I am. I'm sort of a little bit back to my old life, which is quite nice. Not that Harry Potter wasn't also very nice, but I did 3.5 years at the old Princess Theatre. And now I'm back on the Fringe Comedy Festival circuit, which is a real treat. I really miss talking to people
slightly
in their faces.
Smaller houses, probably.
Just a scooch.
Just a little
just
bit.
Just a touch. If I add up my entire season, it makes up to one Princess Theatre. That's fine.
And you're writing your own material, which is nice as well, I expect.
Yeah, I talk to the audience a lot in my show, have a good old chat with them, and just, like, sometimes I found it so hard to be in a play where you have to say your set lines, and you're like, that woman's laugh is so funny, and we're all aware of it, and nobody's saying anything. Or like, this child is doing a running commentary on what the villain is wearing, and no one's. So I'm really excited to be able to be like, "Hello, you're eating chips loudly. Want to talk about it?"
Yeah.
I always get people. I don't know about you, Gillian, but people come up to me and they're like, "Oh, isn't that scary? Like, isn't it scary talking to people in your crowd?" And I'm like, that's literally the best part. Like, if I could cut every song out of my show and just stand there and be like, yeah, what's your deal? I would do that. Like, if I had enough belief in my talent to make that funny for a whole hour, I would literally just do crowd work for the entire time. It's the best bit.
But then people would miss out on the songs.
Yeah, that'd be kind of a bummer, wouldn't it? Although it would be kind of funny to put a keyboard on the stage and then just not touch it.
I got to this point while writing. I literally got to a point where I was like, is this the show where I don't write any songs? And I just, there's a keyboard there and it's Chekhov's keyboard.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Is it David O'Doherty?
Oh, yes.
Who just has his little keyboard and kind of doesn't do songs, like just kind of accompanies his chat,
kind
really.
Kind of an underscoring, which is also clever because you can set a vibe. I also think David O'Doherty is a genius in the way that he chose to play a comically small keyboard, which means that every single time he has to do a set, he doesn't have the added problem of, can I lug my 30 kilo stupid instrument
How
to
soon
that
can
venue?
I get a physio appointment after this gig?
How's that lumbar support going, Julian?
The gig is mostly Pilates to make the job sustainable. That's good. Now.
Hey, last time you were on the show, Gillian, I didn't ask you this question because you were on the show in 2021 and I started asking this last year, which is, do you have a favorite piece of trivia?
Do I have? Oh, God, I have so many. I love trivia so much.
Yes.
I'm such a nerd. The watermelon is actually a member of the berry family. There you go.
Oh, cute.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Okay. We'll go with that one.
Sure.
Excellent.
Other berries would have such an inferiority complex next to that.
Right?
I wouldn't want to be a bloody blueberry next to a watermelon.
Grandfather.
What's the point, you know?
What have I got? What about you, Gabby? Do you have a favorite piece of trivia?
Well, I unlike Jillian, I feel like every fact I've ever learned, for the next minute after reading it, I go, oh my God. And then after that, I forget I ever read it.
Completely
empty
head.
So I'm 100% useless at trivia, unless it's like hearing quizzes. Like when they, like music trivia, I bloody love.
Right.
But my favorite piece of trivia, I think that I can remember off the top of my head, is that T-Pain, first of all, can sing, which is not exactly news to many people, but T-Pain can sing really well. But not only that, T-Pain has written so many of your favorite pop songs that you would have no idea. Like, there's a song by Ariana Grande called R.E.M. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's like, it was a huge hit 2016 when Sweetener came out. And it was written by T-Pain and Pharrell back in like 2009.
Wow.
And it was just a demo that sat there. And then Beyonce did a version of it and she was like, nah, I don't need that. And then Ariana Grande. So I just think T-Pain's whole life would be like my Jeopardy subject.
Yeah, right.
I love that guy. I just think he's nailed it. He's nailed the formula. He can songwrite, he can sing, he can rap, he can use auto-tune. I love that for him. So that's my piece of trivia today.
Excellent. I love it. Thank you.
Does not bode well for the quiz about the paper, though, I will say.
No, there's I'm just looking across and there's no question about T-Pain, I'm afraid.
What do you mean?
Sorry. Now, Jillian, did you stick your hand up?
I remembered a good piece, yeah.
Okay, give me another one. You get another swing.
Okay, thank you, because this one is good. Okay, so obviously we're all familiar with the boy and girl band phenomenons of the early 2000s, where people would audition to be put into a boy or girl band.
Oh, yes.
You betcha.
Hundreds of thousands of young men auditioned to be part of Five Ive, including Russell Brand.
Really?
And
Russell
I just like
Brand
to imagine
auditioned.
There's an alternate reality where Russell Brand got into Five Ive.
Oh.
Five, if you will.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
How does one pronounce it? Is it just Five?
You can just say Five if you want, but have a crack of saying Five Ive because it makes you feel alive. That's all I'll say. Ten.
I figured that would have been – maybe that would have been a better world.
Possibly.
If Russell Brand had been, maybe stuck in that –
I'm living.
In a boy band wise world.
I think you would have done very well. Also, not enough boy bands have like a sexy pirate one.
No.
You always have like a twink and a dad. But
that is so true. There's no
weird
one.
Pants.
Yeah, that's. I never got into boy bands growing up. I really missed the boy band thing. And I think it's because there was no weird gangly string bean with a beard,
You're like, which of these guys is going to invite me to his improv show?
Yeah, which one has a tea set at home? That's what I'm after. Who's dainty enough for me?
All right, let's get into the questions proper.
There's two shots in this copy. I'm so
are
sorry.
You ready? Yeah. Wow. Same.
Yeah, okay.
Gabby's on fire already.
I am ready. Sorry, Johnny. Sorry.
Here we go. Question number one. Which capital city does the Vistula River flow through? And there's a bonus point for naming the sea it flows into.
Okay, well, I feel like we're in Europe.
You are definitely in Europe. Very well done.
It's giving Europe vibes.
It's giving Europe.
I'll say this, Jillian. I don't know geography at all.
Oh, like, here's something you need to know about me. During a very bad bout of depression, I learned every capital city in the world.
Is funny. You said that on last time you were on the show, that capital cities were your jam.
I'm so happy because
Okay. But the Vistula River, it sounds Eastern European?
It sure does.
Okay.
I agree.
You're narrowing it down.
What's the one that... No, it's the Danube that goes through like Hungary, Romania.
Yeah. This river pretty much goes through this country and no others.
Oh, Russia?
Yeah. It's not Russia.
It's not Russia. No, are there rivers? I don't know.
Can we just guess countries and then have you confirm or deny, or is that going to like dock us?
Well, no, sure. There's
Morocco.
No, too far away, baby.
Fair enough. Literally, I'm just saying names.
Okay, we're in Eastern Europe, and it's a river that only runs through this country. Vistula, Belarus.
Not Belarus.
Serbia?
Ooh. Not Serbia. Now, also, Jillian, I'm going to take you back to the last time you were on the show.
Ooh.
Because there was someone that was born in this country who, who was... A scientist, And she was the first person to win two.
Oh, it's Marie Curie. And Marie Curie is where was not she born in France. She's born in...
No, Poland's wrong. Poland?
Oh, Poland is not wrong.
Oh, I knew that. I remember that from year three. Wait, okay,
very well done, Gabby.
Okay, well, I know that Marie Curie is from Poland.
Okay,
but
so
I don't know
the capital city is Warsaw.
Hey!
Very well done. Yeah.
We did
so
it.
Which capital city does the Vistula River flow through? The answer is Warsaw. Very well done.
That's teamwork.
Oh, my God. It all,
it's the longest river in Poland and the ninth longest river in Europe.
Good for them.
It also runs through, it basically runs through every city in Poland.
Efficient.
Wow.
Yeah, efficient. You know, they just went, well, let's just sailed up the river and they went, let's put a city here, let's put a city here, let's
put
a city
here. Seems smart.
And it also runs through the historical capital of Poland, which is Krakow.
Aww.
Now, you need to tell me the bonus point for naming the sea that it flows into. So, which sea, I'll give you a clue, is north of Poland?
I mean, it's not the North Sea, because that's near Ireland. And that felt
correct.
Like
it's
too
not
easy
the north
a clue
sea.
Even for you. If we're north of Poland.
Yeah, what...
This is
what,
like Scandinavia.
What is that area kind of called?
Oh, the Baltic?
Yes, the Baltic Sea is the right answer.
Oh, I learned all the seas in lockdown, but then I repressed everything from that time, unfortunately.
Of course. Good. It was a bad time to learn anything.
Yeah.
All right, question number two. Mm-hmm. What five-letter word starting with N is slang for cartridges of nitrous oxide?
Nangs.
Nangs is the right answer.
Why is this in the quiz?
Jillian, I'm so proud. I'm so proud. Is this really in the paper? Like, are people reading the paper right now being like, Nangs?
100%.
I love 100%
that. This is in the paper.
I used to work at Wendy's in the early
2000s. Oh, right.
And we had to keep our whipped cream canisters locked in a cupboard with a padlock.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so
gosh.
Wendy's.
Isn't it? And
like,
that's Wendy's.
You're making your clown face ice creams, and then at the end of the day, you get the padlocks out.
Yeah, you're doing
like,
whippets.
What a weird job.
Yeah, whippets. It gets called whippets in other places in the world, but in Australia and New Zealand, they're
nangs.
Called nangs.
Nangs.
And no one's quite sure why they're called nangs. Do you know? Do either of you know?
No.
Oh, I would not know anything about nangs, Johnny.
Are your parents going to listen to this podcast?
Even if they do, I'm 26, you know. They'll figure it out. But I will say, like, I feel like Australians have this wonderful knack of our nicknames are so ridiculous that it wouldn't even need to be even, like, assonant with the original name. We just have to take the first letter. So if somebody heard nitrous oxide, they went N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N-N- obvious.
No, there's some. It's possibly derived from the sound distortion perceived by consumers.
Onomatopoeia? Is that when something sounds like it?
Sounds like what it is.
I love that. Yeah. Oh, bang, whoosh, nangs, living.
Names. Yeah, inhalation of nitrous oxide for recreational use with the purpose of causing euphoria or slight hallucinations began as a phenomenon for the British upper classes in 1799.
Oh.
English chemist Humphrey Davy threw laughing gas parties where his guests would inhale the gas from a silken bag.
Oh.
He documented its effects in his 1800 book, Researches Chemical and Philosophical, which investigated nitrous oxide or, now I'm not going to be able to say this, diphlogisticated nitrous air.
Oh yeah, dings. And its respiration. We call those
dings. I was going to say, no wonder they called them nangs. Like, imagine trying to say that every time you want
to. Dings and nangs.
Yeah. Can I have some nitrous oxide, please?
I can't believe it's this old. I like the idea that high tea is the original Wendy's. Mm. That's a powerful lineage.
I love the silken bag.
Silken bag, yeah.
Like
not a balloon, as is used these days.
Yeah.
The poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge described the effect as like returning from a walk in the snow into a warm room.
Oh, that's lovely.
Get it, Coleridge. Stunning.
Very, very well done. However, warning, long-term or habitual use can lead to severe neurological damage, and there is a danger of frostbite or cold burns these days.
Where do you get the frostbite? Like in your mouth?
Yeah.
Oh.
If you have it directly from the canister, there is a danger of frostbite of the larynx.
Wow. Well,
you live and learn.
There you go.
You know what? We're singers, Jillian. We can't do it anymore.
No, right? Nanging for you.
No nanging. Just sanging. No nanging.
Just question number three. PWC is the abbreviated brand name of what international network of firms?
Oh, I know this.
You know this one as well?
PricewaterhouseCoopers?
Very well done.
Whoa. I was going to say like Worldwide Corporation for the WNC. So
Worldwide Corporation.
I was like, that covers everything. But no, I'm glad you actually knew it, Jillian.
PricewaterhouseCoopers is the right answer. Do you know what they are?
I think my uncle used to work for them. And all I know is that he was very rich. We don't speak to him anymore.
That checks out. Yeah, sure.
That came from the back of, you know when you feel a thought coming from the back of your head out the front?
Marie Curie. I've never thought about her in like 20 years.
There you go. But you remember that she was from Poland.
Is it, I don't know, lawyers, financiers,
they do,
money men?
They do all sorts of things that I don't really understand.
Is it like a little bit of a distraction from maybe corruption? Sometimes I look at some of those big, big companies and I'm like, you work for Wall Street, don't you? Like some really shifty shit went on in the 80s and you just not want to talk about it.
Like, and I feel like, sure, maybe it is that kind of situation. The PwC firms are in 157 countries across 742 locations, employing 328,000 people.
I can't believe there's that many
They do things like they're actuaries or, you know.
Oh, God. Same.
Yeah.
Actuary.
Very well done. Well done to them. That's why we're in the arts.
And I can't believe they have 700 locations and I've never heard of them. It's like a spy agency.
Yeah,
like
but we
MI5.
Have talked about your geography knowledge. So.
True.
Yeah.
That is true. True. You know what? The wool has been pulled over my eyes for far too long on the worldwide corporations, that's for sure.
All right. Question number four.
All right.
In the 2008 hit I Kissed a Girl, Katy Perry sings of what flavoured chapstick?
Cherry.
Oh, the disdain for the
the taste of her cherry chapstick. It's beautiful. Mwah. Beautiful alliteration. We love it.
Excellent. Can one of you give me the full lyric?
Yep, oh, please.
Like the chorus? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Go on.
So there's like a really, really chonky synth that's like I kissed a girl and I liked it, the taste of her cherry chapstick. And then it just says that again. I kissed a girl just to try it. Don't mind if my boyfriend don't like it. I mean, look, it was 2008.
Yeah,
it is giving experiment on women, but we've moved past it. I'm sure Katie wouldn't agree with it anymore. But you know what? Still a banger.
Problematic, but still a banger. Still singing it.
Yeah, true.
She's surely.
No, probably not. I think
it was the
debut
single of American singer Katy Perry's album, her second studio album, One of the Boys.
Oof.
It's giving pick me, isn't it?
It's you know a big pick me energy.
I ate that shit up when I was a kid. I was like,
of course you did.
She's not like other girls. She is slightly more discernible. And that, literally, I was one of those girls. And now I've had to do years of backpedaling to be like, actually, all women are fine. Like, I used to love Stupid Girls by Pink. And I look back on that song now and I'm like, Oh,
I don't know that one so well.
Oh, Johnny, look it up. It is a whirlwind. Okay. Oh, yeah. Later on. don't disrupt the quiz. I'm so sorry. I'm deep.
Okay. I'm going to also give you a bonus point for giving me the decade-ish, maybe, I don't know, of when chapstick was made.
I think it's going to be earlier than we think.
Yeah, because I feel like collecting them was a really big fad in the 80s.
But also, is it going to be 50s? Like, isn't that post-war dry lip? Or is it later?
Keep going. Keep going back.
Does it have to
be talking like whale blubber? What are we using? What's counting as chat?
Like, does it have to be in the stick form?
The first stick was handmade in the late 1800s.
Get out of town. In a silver bag? I hope so.
Was it fat? Was it animal fat?
And it looked like a wickless candle wrapped in aluminium foil.
What was it made of?
Yeah.
Lard? Dripping.
No idea.
Lard? Sorry, I'm a bit dry.
I'm a DIY cosmetics, or I was certainly as a teenager because I didn't have like a job or pocket money. And so the things that I was like, yep, I'll put that on my face. Like I would just Google. One time I did an at-home hair mask, which was like made with olive oil and eggs. And then I stayed in the hot bath too long and I cooked scrambled eggs in my own hair.
Oh my God. I didn't cook scrambled eggs, but I did the exact same thing.
Yeah.
The eggs and the oil. And I used to do egg whites on my face, like a face mask as well.
Avocado on the face, banana on the face. All the best.
Just fruits.
Wow.
I can't believe you cooked eggs in your hair, though. That's cool.
That's fantastic. And as it happened, I was like, God, this is good material.
That's pretty good.
I expect a four-minute song.
Thank you for the... Thank you for those... Thank you for singing. That was... fantastic. Okay.
Oh, I'm all right. It's, yeah.
Question number five. According to the Macquarie Dictionary, what was the word of the year for 2022? So last year's word of the year.
I feel like it was one of those two-word ones that you were like, isn't that a term?
Like it wasn't this, year. I know what you mean, though, because it's like,
Like all the pandemic-y ones were all like,
lockdown.
Press conference. North Face.
Maybe North in Melbourne. I was going to say something like quiet quitting, but I think if it's not two words, then that's... What are the themes of 22? Capitalism.
I'll let you... It's because Macquarie Dictionary is the Australian dictionary, and last year was an election year. So it refers to something that kind of movement, I guess, in last year's election.
Socialism. I'm so sorry.
What did we have? We had
something
teal
prominent.
Teal? Is it just teal?
It's teal.
Yeah,
the word of the year was teal.
Aquamarine could never, honestly.
Cerulean. And I think it was Yves Saint Laurent, wasn't it?
Yes. And then was it Oscar de la Renta?
God.
Was the word of the year for 2022.
Happy for her.
Yeah.
The colour feels like kind of a boring choice, I'll be honest. I get what the symbolism is. But I almost feel like democracy sausage would have been like...
Sure.
But that's eternal.
But it's kind of, you know, it's kind of busting in on Pantone's...
That's what I mean. Like Pantone,
because they have a color of the year,
which wasn't teal, was it?
It wouldn't have been teal. Or they have two. They usually have two colors of the year, actually, to complement each other.
Oh yeah, choices.
Choices. all right. On that note, we're going to take a quick little break. We'll be right back.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're listening to the Saturday Quiz. I'm joined today by Gillian Cosgriff and Gabby Bolt, and we are up to question number six. Ooh. Which of these is not a muscle in the human body? Oblique, Enceladus, Soleus, or Trapezius?
Well, me and my Trapezius have spent a lot of time together. That's definitely real.
I'm sure you have.
Trap City.
Your obliques are real, right?
Yes.
Yeah, tell me where your trapezius is.
Your trapezius is up here. That's where she carries all her tension and her stress.
Oh, yeah, they're called trapezius muscles because they resemble a trapezium or a quadrilateral kind
trapezoid.
Of...
Okay, $20
trapezoid.
Word. Yes, good.
yes.
Obliques are your side abs.
Yeah.
The obliques are your side abs,
so
yes.
So what are the other two? Soleus and...
Soleus and Enceladus.
I feel like Soleus feels spacey, but maybe that's the classic fake out. Like, I'm like, Soleus to me sounds like an asteroid, but also I'm an idiot. So
you take that back about Judy Vault. She's perfect.
Sorry. NASA could never. Soleus.
Enceladus ENC or ENS?
ENC.
Oh, that seems more real.
Yeah.
If you were like S, I'd be like, get out of here, clown. ENS in the human body.
How it sounds. That can't be medical. Disgusting. A doctor could never write that down. Oh, my God.
Enceladus is ENCELADUS. And Soleus is SOLEUS.
I feel like Soleus, though, also sounds handsy. Like, I feel like Soleus can also be like a real tiny muscle in the hand that you would never pay attention to.
Possible.
But what the hell is an Enceladus?
Enceladus does sound like could be a bit sinewy, like could be something in the leg.
But like, what would they shorten it to?
Okay,
no,
I'm going to
say Enceladus.
What's funny is that you are right. The muscle that we're talking about is in the leg.
Oh.
And you are right. The other thing is kind of spacey.
I knew it.
Oh,
is it
in a way?
Okay, hear me out.
Yeah.
Why do we call it the sole of the foot, S-O-L-E?
That's a good question.
Oh, Soleus. Julian, you've done it.
What is
the name Soleus is derived from the Latin word solea, which means sandal.
Oh, my God, Julian, you've done
it. It is in the calf muscle. The soleus muscle is kind of the deep calf muscle, so not the one that you can kind of, not the kind of one on the outside that's
the
all
meaty
big and
one.
Meaty.
Makes
you cry.
Kind of behind that one and inside that one. And yes, Enceladus, get this. Enceladus was the name of a giant in Greek mythology. And it is now, a moon or one of the moons of Saturn.
Oh, Saturn rings.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's the sixth largest moon of Saturn.
Well, not that big then.
And it's quite an interesting one because it's completely covered by fresh, clean ice.
Ooh.
Making it one of the most reflective bodies in the solar system.
I thought you were going to say most refreshing.
And refreshing.
It's like a big,
the most refreshing moon.
Does that mean it's like a big, if we could be near it technically, it's like the campest of the moons because it would be like a big mirror ball? Like,
yes.
Like if you saw it, you'd be like, that looks like a party. Like,
for sure. Yeah, head towards that big glittery ball.
Yeah, Saturn's where it's at. They've got the disco ball going.
So, yes, you got it.
Yeah.
Oblique, soleus, and trapezius are all muscles.
Good stuff.
Very well done. All right, question number 7. What line passing through the Pacific Ocean serves as the boundary between one calendar day and the next?
Is it called the International Date Line?
That's exactly what it's called. Very well done.
Thank you
My
so
brain
much,
was
Julian.
Like, no, you're thinking about Dateline. That's what you're thinking about. Now I am thinking about Dateline.
Yeah. Great show.
There you go. Yeah, the International Dateline. I have very little to add to that.
I love that when they were naming all this stuff, they gave all the other lines such intricate names. Like, you know, there's like equator and, you know, like orbit and all that stuff. And then,
all
that.
Even Greenwich. Yeah.
But they go that way.
But then when they got to International Date, then they were like, what do we call it? It is an international line to check the date. I've got it, guys. We call it the International Date. Like, why do they give up with that one? I feel like it would be so much more fun to be like, it's the Wibble Wobble line. Like, I don't know why they didn't give it a fun name. So boring.
It
Poor
is
International
boring.
Date line.
Okay, question number 8. In the comic strip, to which horrible husband is Helga married? Do you know this comic strip?
Yes.
Horrible is in inverted commas.
Is it Hagar?
It is Hagar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Are you readers of Hagar the Horrible?
I think I can see him in my head. I haven't read a comic strip in a while.
He's Viking-y, right?
Describe him.
Yeah.
He is Viking-y.
Yeah, he's like a buff. He's like a one-piece unit, like a grimace.
Yes,
kind of, he's like a furry, he's kind of all beard and shaggy.
Is he ginger?
He's ginger, yes. When he's coloured, he's ginger.
Yes.
And he has the kind of archetypal Viking horned helmet.
Yeah. And Helga's giving you classic Brunhilde.
Exactly, she is.
Recycle moment. Yeah, great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for you, Hagar. Get it.
Created by cartoonist Dick Brown, it first appeared in February 1973 and was an immediate success. After he retired in 1988, his son Chris Brown continued the strip with artwork by Gary Hallgren. Hallgren? No idea.
It's such a thing to not know how to pronounce a cartoonist's name. I remember the first time I heard Matt Groening, and I was like, excuse me? I have been calling the creator of The Simpsons Matt Groening my whole life.
I still call him Matt Groening.
I know, but then you hear Americans say Groening, and you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah, but they say Americans Greg say Craig. And Craig.
Oh, Greg, Craig, Aaron, Aaron. Yeah, that's right. They don't know how to pronounce stuff.
They don't know how to pronounce stuff.
Sorry, America. Proper. You know?
All right, question number 9. Speaking of America, American Scotty Scheffler is the new men's world number one in which sport?
I
knew there was going to be sport. I knew it. I was doing so well until there was sport.
How recent are we talking?
Earlier this month, he won something.
An award?
Yes, that put him into the first number one ranking for the second time this year.
Is it surfing?
It is not surfing. Do you know what? That was my guess. Because when I look at these questions, I sort of give it a go.
Well, there was a big surfing comp.
There was a big surfing comp. But there was also a big something else comp.
Oh, well, I'm out.
Is it Formula One? Is it one of those? I just have not heard his name.
No, it's not Formula One.
Oh, God.
I'll give you another clue. There's an Australian called Cam Smith who probably should be number one in this sport or, you know, at least up there. But he couldn't play in this. He won this competition last year and he couldn't defend his title because he has defected from the international body that presides over this sport to play in a rival competition. Does that give you any clues?
Does this put us in soccer? I was gonna
say I know of a Cam Smith in cricket, but this sounds like an individual kind of accolade. So I'm
No, I think you know a Steve Smith in cricket.
Oh well, I guess you know what?
I know a Steve Smith from school. Is it him?
I think I went to school with a Cam. Is it that
okay? Guy? It's individual. Is it individual. Like boxing?
It is an individual sport.
Golf.
What are you doing? What did you say, Gabby?
Golf.
Golf is the right answer.
Yeah,
golf.
I knew it. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Very well done. Yes. Earlier this month, Scheffler won the Players' Championship by 5 strokes and regained the number one ranking in the official world golf ranking for the second time in this year. But yes, Australian Cam Smith wasn't allowed to defend his 2022 Players' Championship win this year since he'd defected from the PGA to play in the LIV golf competition.
Oh, yes, and Tiger Woods was playing in LIV as well. I remember this because there was the whole thing about LIV being direct competition. There was a whole I remember reading about this in the news. That's like the only sport news I've ever read.
Oh.
Good.
Okay, we're up to the final question. Woo. You ready? Question number 10.
Let's do it.
Conchologists study and collect what?
Am I being wild to think shells? Because there's the conch shells.
Yeah.
Conch shells. Shells?
Conch. It's shells. Very well done.
Efficient.
Nice work, Gabby.
I am upset.
Last final question, straight out.
I am upset that I knew that so quickly, not because I am a shell enthusiast. It's because I've been playing Stardew Valley on the Switch for the last, 3 months of my life. And what you have to do in that game is just collect stuff. And one of those things is conch shells. And that's how I learned about the name conch shell. And now I know this.
Well done.
Video gaming's great, kids. Just good for you. Just keep doing it.
See what it can provide.
It makes you
exactly. Answers in quizzes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good.
So good.
Thank you both so much for coming on and doing the quiz.
Can I just say this quiz had rage?
Oh,
yes.
Nangs to conch. That is
Nangstick.
You don't see that very often.
No.
With a golf detour along, like, there was everything.
If we ever write a book, we're calling it Nangstaconch.
Well, I would call this episode Nangstaconch, except that gives away one of the answers.
It does, so, yeah.
So I won't be doing that. But tell me, how can people come and see your shows?
Well, Jillian and I, we're both playing at the Butterfly Club for the entire month of Melbourne Comedy Festival, so you have plenty of opportunities to see us, and unfortunately saying you're sick all of those days isn't going to work. But you can come and see me at 7 o'clock, and then if you want to really get bang for your buck, right after me on the same stage at the Butterfly Club upstairs is Jillian's show. And yeah, we're going to be a double act. I have no doubt by the end of the festival it's going to be a Velma and Roxy situation. Like, it's going to be duets. We'll probably absolutely just do karaoke with the crowd for 2 hours. I
do full hours.
It has a lot of room to devolve into chaos, I think.
It's also worth mentioning that Gabby and I have never met in person.
Oh, you're kidding.
We're only about to meet in person. No, we're just internet friends.
We are internet friends.
So how fantastic.
We're going to be sharing the upstairs room at the Butterfly Club for the full month of Comedy Festival. As I said to her, let's be like those Australians that live in the hostel. Let's really move it. I'm bringing those hanging bead curtains and like incense. Yeah. It's going to be horrible.
Vibes. We're bringing vibes. Candles, although that's a fire hazard. So some aromatherapy steam.
Yeah, those fake electric tea light candles.
Yes.
The real show is backstage, but if you 100%. Must attend the showbiz, it's at 7 and 8:30.
Amazing.
And if you're nice to us, we'll put about 5 chairs in the green room and you can just come and watch us.
Yeah, watch
ready.
That.
It'll be a whole show.
Yeah, I had more crying than I thought a comedy festival would have.
this one's a real hard hitter. Yeah.
Well, thanks, guys. It's been a pleasure having you on the show, and good luck with the festival. Have a great festival.
Thank you.
And yeah. See you next time.
Ah, hell yeah.
What a bonkers episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you to my guests this week, Jillian Cosgriff and Gabby Bolt. I realised while I was editing this episode that they sound very much alike, so I hope it wasn't too confusing for you. You should, of course, go and see both of them at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. There are links in the show notes to get tickets. A big shout out to all the listeners who continue to contribute financially to this show. I know money's a bit tight for lots of people right now, so I really appreciate it. If you can't afford it, you can still help out in other ways by giving the podcast a 5-star review and telling your friends to listen. Special thanks to Cindy McDonald for always supplying me with the great questions. This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri people. I pay my respects to their elders, past and present. My name's John Leary, and I'll have more questions for you same time next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.